Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Kuf Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins the second line or two lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Vav Amid Beis. We open with a quote from the Mishnah that was found on Daf Kuf Dalid Omid Beis. Mi Shaholach LeMedinas Hayam. The Mishnah discussed someone, a man, a husband that had gone abroad, and the Mishnah spoke about the Ishtoi Tevas Mezonos, and the wife who was left behind was seeking out payment, a means of buying food. From her husband's assets. Now, the Gemara. Itmar. Rav Omar. We continue at the top of Kuf Zayin Omer Aleph. Poiskin Mizoinois Li Eishes Ish. Ushmul Omar Ein Poiskin Mizoinois Li Eishes Ish. This expression needs to be defined. So we look at Rashi at the top. Poiskin Mizoinois. Based in Yordan Lenichse, Mishahalach Mishayam, Upoiskin Mizonos Liishto. We have a topic heading that introduces this Gemara on the side, the Nosei, which reads, Machloikis Rav Ushmuel, Beinyan Mishahalach Lemedina Sayam, Velo Shomanu Shemes, a disagreement between Rav and Shmuel concerning a man, a husband that goes abroad, and we don't hear that he's dead. Based in Yordan Linechosov, Upoiskim Mizonos Lishto. The court, does it descend upon his properties and, if need be, sell them off in order to get cash to support the man's wife? Rav says Yordim. Shmuel says Lo Yordim. Why not? There is room to suspect that before the husband went abroad, he already established a source for her mizonos. Rav Zvid tells us, Tzori Atbisa. Rav Zvid says that one should suspect, of course, within Shmuel's line of reasoning, that the husband had entrusted with her a pouch of money, Tzori, or coins that he were tied up in a wallet, that he already entrusted to her, for her to be able to support herself. So there's no reason to sell off the man's properties. Rav Papa, Debal Omar Lotzi, Maisi Adayach Lemazonosayach, Vihi Kibla. According to Rav Papa, the husband may very well have told her, you know, you keep your own income and support yourself. And she accepted that. If that in fact was the case, so then there's no reason to sell off the man's properties. We don't know that he's dead. He's going to come back. What will he be left with if we sell it off? So now, turning back to the Gemara, Rav said that Poiskin, we do have the court descend upon his properties and have and provide the woman with support. Ushmuel Omar Ein Poiskin Mizonos Le'eshes Ish. Omar Shmuel Moideli Abo. Abo is a reference to Rav, that Rav will concede to my point of view. B'shloisha Chadoshim HaRishonim, the first 3 months, She'ein Poiskin Lefi She'ein Oda Miniach Beiso Reikom. The first 3 months of his absence, Basin isn't going to, there's no need for Basin to descend upon his properties, because you can rest assured he doesn't leave his house empty. In other words, he made sure that the cupboards were full of canned food, or he left enough money for to buy things. No need to sell properties within the first 3 months of his departure. B'sheshamu bo shemes kuleyama lo pligi. If we hear that he died, so then everyone will agree, Shmuel will agree, that poiskin, that we do descend upon his properties. Ki pligi b'shelo shamu bo shemes. The argument between Rav and Shmuel arises when we have not heard that he died. Now Rashi on the second line from the top interprets and explains the Gemara, but based on information that will be revealed later in the Gemara itself. But at the same time, let's take a look at Rashi. Second line from the top. What is there to suspect? In the case that we hear that he's dead, what is there to suspect? If it's a function of his having left her money already for her food, she eventually is going to collect the ksuba as an almona, she'll have to swear that she isn't withholding anything of theirs to begin with. And if you have to suspect that he told her, keep your own income, and she accepted that, well, after he dies, she's not obligated anyway to give him her Maisi Adayim. Now we turn back to the Gemara. The case we have to focus on is where we did not hear, we call this case Gimel, Shelo Shamu Bo Shemes. We didn't hear of his death. And we're beyond the 3 month period. So we have this is going to be the point of controversy. The point, and meaning the point in time where there will be controversy. Rav Omar Poiskin, the Homishubid law. Basin descends upon his properties. We don't know that he's dead. The husband is obligated, he's mishubid law, he's bound, he's obligated to provide her with mizonos. Ushmul Amar Ein Poskin, my taima, why not? Rav Zvid Omar Tzori Afisa, Rav Zvid says that we are to suspect that he had entrusted with her money already for her mizonos. Rav Pab Omar Chayshin Shem Omar law, we suspect that maybe the husband had told her, see, Maisi Yadav Mizasech, you keep your income, which ordinarily a woman gives her income to her husband in exchange for Mizonos. Before he went abroad, he told her, you keep your money and support yourself. And she accepted that. My Binayhu, what practical difference is there between Rav Zvid's approach and Rav Popa's approach? A point of difference between them would be a case of a wife that's a gadol, she's an adult. There are cases of wives that are still minors. But in this case, we're dealing with a wife that's an adult. And that would mean that there is suspicion that he had entrusted money with her. However, the income that she has from her work is minimal. It's not enough. It's not enough to cover her needs. And as a result, if you take the Rav Zvid approach, we won't sell the properties. If you take the Rav Pop approach, we will sell the properties. Inami Ktana V'Sofka, or the opposite conditions. The girl's a minor, so there's no chashash she would have entrusted money with her. A little girl is entrusted with safekeeping of cash. However, the type of work that she does is enough to cover her food needs. So if you take the Rav Zvid approach, and the wife that left mine was a minor, so we'll have to sell off his properties to support her. But according to Rav Papa's approach, there would be no need for that. As we go on, we have a structural note, because we see a new geometric form. On the side, under the Mivneh heading, we also indicate this goes to Omid Beis. We have a long structure. You can see, if you skip over to Omid Beis, you can see we have another, at least three more of these houses. And we note under our note that these are Sidra Shel Makoros. These are a series of sources. The Mashmash Poiskim Mizonos Leishas Ish Udelo Kishmuel, that the approach we take is not like that of Shmuel. So these are all kashis on Shmuel. The double underline marking highlights the expression B'shishamu bo shemes, where the sources that indicate a base in Yordan Menachosov is simply because it's describing a case where we heard he is dead. And we pointed out before that in a case where we know that the husband is dead, everyone, including Shmuel, agrees that we are poiskin mezonos. We do descend upon his properties and sell them off. Tshuvas Shmuel l'rov ha-makoros shemehem hukshu alav. This answer is going to appear very repetitive. This, and if just by skimming ahead with the markings, you can see that. Later in the Gemara, the point will be made that boy, the same answer is used so many times. Let's continue now in the Gemara. Tanan, and we open here with a question we have noted as a long question. Tanan, mi shaholach misayam v'ishtoy tevas mizaynos. A husband went abroad. The wife is seeking her mizonos, and of course, this is a quote from our Mishnah. Chanan omer tishava b'sofa lo tishava b'tchila. Chanan said that she swears when she comes to collect her suba, but not when she comes to collect mizonos. Nechlu alav bnei kohen gedolim v'yomru tishava b'tchila u'besof. They say that even for collecting the mizonos, she needs to swear. And when we speak about swearing, so she's swearing that she didn't receive any mizonos prior to this. Ad kan lo pligi elo linyan shvua. You see a machlokus between Chonon and the Bnei Kohen Gadolim regarding the necessity of her swearing. Avol mizoni yavinon lo. But we do provide her with mizonos. Now that's not like Shmuel, that in order to provide her with mizonos, that means that Basin is going to have to sell off his properties on her behalf to provide her with cash. So is that not a question on Shmuel? Tirgum on Shmuel, b'sheshamu bo shemes. We use this firebox marking because this approach that Shmuel uses here is going to keep going for quite a long time until Amud Beis. So Shmuel explains the source of, you know, why she's getting mizonos, because Shomavo Shemes, we heard of his death, of the husband's death. Toshma, Misho Holam Yisayam, Vishta Tavas Mizonos, B'nei Karim Gdolim Omer Tishova, Cholun Omer Lo Tishova. The man went abroad, the woman is seeking mizonos, the B'nei Karim Gdolim say that she has to swear, and Chonan says not so. Just like we saw these shitas in the Mishnah. V'im bo v'yomar posakti lo mezoinois ne'emon. If the husband comes and says, I had entrusted her with tzrori, with a pouch of money, so he is believed. What we see from this is that and by the way, when we say that he's believed, Rashi says that he has to swear to that effect, and she will have to return anything that Basin had given to her. But what do we see from this? We see that she had been receiving up till this point that he comes and tells us that I had already given her, she had been receiving mizonos through the intervention of Beis Din. And that is a problem for Shmuel. So the Gemara answers, Hocha nami b'sheshamu bo shemes. The case here is where we heard that he died. The Gemara asks, V'ho im bo v'yomar komar, he came back from the dead. It says that if he comes back and says, how could we have heard that he died? The Gemara answers, Im bo li'achar shmua. In fact, we heard that he died. And that's what Shmuel says, and that's what caused Beis Din to sell the properties. That he comes back, he's coming back after we had heard that he died. So, as far as explaining how Beis Din intervened, it's because of Shamu bo shemes, a point that we said before is unanimously accepted. Namely, that if Shamu bo shemes, Beis Din intervenes. Toshma, Mishahom, Nesayam, Vishlevas Mizonas, Vimbovi Omar, Si Ma Se Yodayach Mimizonasayach, Rashoi. If the husband says, you keep your own income and support yourself, so he is able to do so. Kidmu Basin Uposku, Masha Posku Posku. If the basin had, prior to that, said or sold off his properties, that which they sell is a standing sale. And that is unlike Shmuel. The Gemara says, Hochonami Bishishamu Bo Shemes. Well, this source that says that Beis Din sells off his properties, that's only because we heard that he had died. Toshma, Mishahola Nisayam, Vishu Tavas Mazonos, Beis Din Yordim Lunichosov, Vizonin Umifarnasin Liishto, Avalo Bonov Uvnoisov, Velo Dover Acher. Here's a clear problem for Shmuel. Here's describing the very case that Shmuel dealt with. The man went abroad. The wife is seeking out mizonos. Beis Din descends upon his properties and provides the wife's needs. Omar Rav Sheshes, b'mashre es ishtoi al yedei sholish. Rashi, you can see toward the end of the Rashi column, b'mashre ishtoi al yedei sholish hemid apotropis lazuna. The husband has set up an arrangement for his wife to be supported through an executor. The achshav moshach habetrobus is yado, and at this point that the source is dealing with, the apotropus withdrew from service. The hashtov vaday l'tzuri lekolamechash. Knowing that he set up an executor to see to her food needs, so obviously she was not entrusted with lunch money, with the food money. Velo, so we don't have to worry about sorry. Velo l'shema omar lo tzi ma'aseh yodayach mezasayach. And we don't have to take that into consideration either. We see that the husband had set up a specific method of her being to be supported. And as Rashi added, the main thing that and then that apotropus withdrew. So what do we see in the source? We saw that in that case, so Beis Din is Yordim L'Chosov, as Rashi said, because there is nothing to suspect, nothing, no reason for Beis Din not to sell off the properties. The Gemara asks, Ihochi Bonov Uvnosov Nami, why does the source say that the Beis Din will sell properties to support the wife and not his children? Rashi, three lines from the end, says, Ihochi de Hishra Oisai de Sholish, that it's talking about a case where the husband set up an executor, Afilu Bonov Unoisav Nami, even for the children, Deha Goli Daite, the Nicho Le Shu Nizon Mishalo. This husband, father, has shown that he wants them supported from his own funds. So why does the source say that the wife is to be cared for through the Beis Din intervention and not his own children? So the Gemara says, Kishihishra lazu, velo hishra lazu. The Sholish that was spoken about in the source, Rav Sheshes answered in explaining the source, it was an executor set up for the benefit of the wife, not for the children. Before continuing, let us just review Rav Sheshes' answer and refine a point or two. Rav Sheshes is coming in defense of Shmuel. How is it that Beis Din is Yordim L'Nechosov? So Rav Sheshes had explained that the husband, before he left, had appointed an executor. And the executor was providing from the man's properties a maintenance for this fellow's wife. The source said that now, or I should say, Rashi explained that then this executor withdrew, said, I don't want to function anymore. So Beis Din takes over, and they sell the man's properties in order to support the wife. But the source also mentioned that the sale of the properties is for the wife's maintenance, but not for the man's children's maintenance. And if it's a case that he had appointed a shalish, and the man was happy to have his properties being used to support his wife, so why does that not include his sons and daughters? So to that we answer, well, the man had appointed the executor for the wife and not for the children. The Gemara now asks, third wide line at the beginning of the line, my Pascha, what is so definitive, or what makes it such that it's so clear to you that for this yes and for this no? Because that's a serious question, we come up with a new approach. Elo Omar of Papa. Kishishama boy shemes be'eid echad. The source in which we see based in selling of his properties is a case of our having heard that the husband died, but through the good offices of a singular witness. So based on the testimony of a singular witness, based in then sold the nechassim. It's not a case anymore of our not having heard. It's having heard. And that we said everyone would agree with. The question then is, why, if we have heard that he's dead, why is only the wife supported, not the children? So we're explaining now. The information that he's dead came to us through one witness. He, regarding the woman, the bias, Ansubi be'eid echad motzi mitzvah, she could actually remarry with the testimony of one witness. Bearing in mind that you're dealing with a woman that had the status of a nashis ish, the one witness, for our purposes, has a lot of strength with regard to the woman herself, because with that information she could go and remarry. Mizoni nami yavina la. Since we see that the one witness enables us enables her to violate that which otherwise would be a serious offense, namely marrying a second husband, so certainly we can sell off the first husband, the man's properties to support the woman. However, with regard to the man's children, if they want to descend upon his properties, take over their father's property based on the testimony of one witness that their father is dead and that they are heirs, they are not able to do so. Mizoni nami lo yavina lahu. Just like they can't own the properties, they can't take over ownership of the properties, we will also not provide them with mizonos through the sales of his properties. We saw in the source on the first wide line, we have a little arrow to help you navigate. If you go back to the first wide line, it said we will not sell off his properties for Bona Benosa Velola Dover Acher. My Dover Acher. Rav Chis Amar Tachshit. Ornaments, jewelry, cosmetics, and Rav Yosef Amar Tzedakah. Money for charity purposes. Man Diomar Tachshit, he who said that we will not give her funds for cosmetics, for appearance purposes. Kol Shekain, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Tzedakah. Certainly, we're not going to give her money with which to offer support to the poor. Rashi at the top says, Soka ain't bezin posim soka laniya minachosav bizman shashar b'nei o'ir poiskin aleim stoka. We're dealing with a situation where the poor will be cared for by monies collected from the other people of the city. And so that the other people who are present in the city, they'll contribute to the coffers of the impoverished. But bezin will not sell the man's properties in absentia. Man di Omar Tzedakah, the opinion that says we don't give her money from her husband's properties for tzedakah purposes, avol tachshit yavinu lo delonicho le the tinval. For cosmetic purposes, though, this particular opinion would say we will give her funds to buy things of that nature, because the husband does not want his wife to look repulsive. Toshma Hayavoma Shlisha Chadoshim Rishonim Nizoinus Michel Bala. Hayavoma is a woman that had been married, but her husband died, leaving no children. She is waiting for the Yavam to marry her. The Yavam is the deceased's surviving brother. During the first 3 months since the husband's death, so she is supported from the properties of her husband. There's a Rashi, three lines from the top. Shlosha chadoshim rishonim sheino yecholo lo linosev lo lisyabeim nizaynis mishal baylo. The first 3 months, she's not entitled to enter into a marital bond with any man, because we have to establish whether or not she is pregnant from her first husband. And that determination can be made only at the end of 3 months. So during that time, she's basically restricted into any further marriage because of her husband of possibly impregnating her. Beyond that, eino nizoinus lo mishel baylo velo mishel yavam. She's not supported from her husband's estate nor from the yavam. Omad bedin uborach. If the yavam and yavama had been present in court, and she demands, either you take me in or free me through chalitza, and he then ran away, nizonus mishel yavam. Now here we dash in nizonus. In other words, you have the man is absent, and we're going to be supporting her through his properties. So this is a kasha on Shmuel. Omar loch Shmuel. Shmuel responds, "L'may nechel shel, why here should we think otherwise? Because of course over here we'll support her from his properties. In the case of a husband who is gone and we don't know that he's dead, there's what to suspect. And that's why there we won't sell his properties. But over here, what's there to worry about? If you would think that the Yavam, the brother-in-law, who was expected to marry her, this widow, had entrusted money to her, lo mikrova daite legaba. They didn't have a close bond. They never married each other. They hadn't married. She's waiting to marry him, maybe, but they hadn't married. So there was no bond of closeness formed. So there's no suspicion that he would have entrusted money for her well-being. And if the woman should be deprived of being supported because she has an income, and the Yavam told her, "See, Maisi Odayach b'mezonosayich," that would have made no difference. Lo mishtabdole, she's not bound to him in the first place. So it's not as if that Yavam could have considered it a fair exchange. You keep your Maisi Yadayim and don't sell off my properties. She wasn't bound to give him her Maisi Yadayim to begin with. So there's no reason, says Shmuel, in the case of the Yavam who ran away, that we shouldn't descend upon his properties. There's simply nothing to worry about. Toshma, Ha'isha Shalcha Hiu Bailo Mdesayam, Uvosav Yomra, a woman who went abroad with her husband, and she came back and told us, Meis Bali, my husband is dead. Rotsa Nizonis, Rotsa Gevik Subasa. She can choose to either continue being supported or collect her ksuba. If she comes back and says, Girshani Bali, I was divorced by my husband, Miss Parnesses Valeches Ad Kidei Ksubasa. She can derive support up till the value of her ksuba. We take a look at the Rashi. Miss Parnesses Valeches Ksuba Lo Gavya. She doesn't have any right to collect a ksuba. Shema Lo Girsha. Maybe he didn't divorce her. So how can we enable her to collect the ksuba when maybe she doesn't have any ksuba coming to her? Ubegirshin lo heminua. As opposed to the case of a woman saying meis bali, where we do believe the woman, where a woman says my husband divorced me, we don't believe her. Avo mezoni avina la, but we will provide her with mezonos. Will be run ksuba and eventual payment of the ksuba mimon of shach. Either way you look at things, im girsha hare not lasan biksubasa. Ve'im lav hare hu chayav mezonoseha. There's no reason not to pay the ksuba, because if he did divorce her, so the food that she was receiving would be from within the value of her ksuba. That's not lasan biksubasa. And if he had not divorced her, so she's obligated to be provided for anyway. What do we see from this, though? We see that when she says, the woman tells us, meis bali, she continues getting mizonos. So the Gemara says, and that would be a kasha on Rav. Because Rav said that if we don't know that he is dead, so Beis Din does not sell off his properties. And yet here we see Beis Din is selling off his properties. So the Gemara says, well, Hachanami kishishomu bo shemes. This case is talking about, we heard that he is dead. Umayishno ad kidei ksubasa. And what's the, if it's a case that we heard he's dead, so then what's this point about her collecting support up till the value of the ksuba? So Gemara says, "Dihi he da afsida anafsha." And in order to appreciate this, we'll first look at the Rashi. In this source, we had learned that if the woman claims that my husband divorced me, now she might be thinking, well, with that claim, I'm going to be able to collect my ksuba. So to that, we explain, and you can see this explanation in the Tosfos Reed commentary, that we don't believe a woman when she says, I have been divorced. This is in contrast with the belief, that the believability that we grant a woman when she says, my husband is dead, not so in the case where she says, my husband divorced me. These are topics that we've discussed quite a bit earlier in the Masechta. However, she is entitled to support up till the value of her ksuba. So mazon, parnosa, she's entitled to up till that value. Either way, if she actually was divorced, so she has that amount coming to her. And if not, so a husband is obligated to support her anyway. But as we said, the idea of the woman getting support, and of course it's through court intervention and sales of her properties, of his properties, that's because we heard he died. The Gemara had asked that, but why in the case of the divorce do we say that she gets up till the value of her ksuba? If my understanding is that the case of Shomu Bo Shemes applies to the whole source. Not just what she says, but we heard independently that he's dead. Well, if that's the case, why does she get mizonos just up till the value of the ksuba? So to that we respond, because she brought the loss on herself by claiming that she was divorced. That's the ihihi dafsida anafsha. She brought that loss, that restriction on herself. But once again, just not to lose sight of the forest for the trees, all of these cases and sources that seem to indicate the Beis Din is yordling on the chosav is only because Shomu Bo Shemes. Ta Shema, number 7. Ketzad Omru, Mema'enes Ein Lo Mizonos. We say that a minor girl who entered what we call a rabbinic marriage, she is not entitled to Mizonos. What do we mean by Mema'enes Ein lo mezonas. You can't say that that concept of minas ein lo mezonas applies to a case where the girl, the minor, is currently living with her rabbinic husband. Okay, rabbinic husband doesn't mean the husband's a rabbi, it means that the marriage is rabbinic. Share bailo chayav mezonas, husband is obligated to support his wife. Ella kagain shalach bailo minasayam. Rather, this phrase, this idea that mema'enes ein lo mezonos is talking about a case where the husband, that husband of a rabbinic nature, has gone abroad. Lovsa v'ochla omda umiyana. She borrowed money relying upon that loan for her food purposes, and then she got up and said, "I want out," and walked out. So, in a case like that, we say that the mema enes is ein lo mezonos. She's not entitled to a mezonos payment. Taimo de miano. The reason we say she's not entitled to a mezonos payment is because she walked out of the marriage. Ha'lo mi'ano, had she remained with him, in other words, not walked out, yahavina lo, we would have given her mezonos, even though the husband is not there. This is, again, a problem for Shmuel. Omar lo Shmuel. So Shmuel responds, I understand that we'll give her, in this case, we give her mezonos. What's there to worry about? If it's that she doesn't deserve mezonos because he's entrusted money to her, a man would not entrust to a minor a sum of money. And if you suspect that he told her, keep your income and support yourself, generally speaking, a minor does not produce enough income to support herself. So, again, that's reason enough for us to intervene in order to and sell properties to support the Ketana in her mezonos requirements. My Havi Allah. Here the Gemara wants to know, how do we paskin? We have a diamond marking, and on the side under the Mivneh note, we indicate Shtei Gishot, La'anos l'shelas mai havi Allah, two approaches in order to deal with this question. And just to review, a man goes abroad, leaving his wife behind. More than 3 months have gone by. We don't know of his death. Does the court move in, sell off his properties to support the wife he left behind? Rav will tell you that based in his yard in the Nechosov, and Shmuel will say, no. How do we paskin? Ki osu Rav Dimi Omar, maise bo lifnei Rebbe bebeis sharim, uposak lo mezonos. A case of this nature came to Rebbe's attention, and he made mezonos available to him. In other words, he had instructed Basin to go and sell the husband's properties in absentia. Lefnei Rishmuel b'Tzipori, a case came to Rishmuel in the town of Tzipori, v'lo posat lo mezonos, and he did not enable her to get mezonos. Tohi bo Rabbi Yochanan. We were highlighting with this marking the name Rabbi Yochanan, again to show a type of structural similarity in the sukkia. So Rabbi Yochanan was amazed or wondered. The chima ro Rabbi Shmuel shel posak lo mezonos. What is it that Rabbi Shmuel saw not to provide her with mezonos? Ha lo nechleku b'nei kayanim gedolim v'chanan elalinyan shvua. We saw in the Mishnah daf kuf dalid a machlokus between the b'nei kayanim gedolim and chanan whether or not she has to take a shvua. Of a mezoni yavina law, but under all circumstances we do provide her with mezonos. Omar le Rav Shamon bar Abo. Rav Shamon explains to Rabbi Yochanan Kvar Tirgamo Rabbeinu Shmuel Bebovel. Rabbeinu Shmuel, that means Shmuel that we've seen up till this point so often. Shmuel in Bovel explained Kishishamu Bo Shemes. He would explain the Mishnah as well, where we heard the husband had died. And as we said at the outset of, at the beginning of this sugya, that where we hear the husband is dead, everyone agrees she basin is Yordan Lechosov to provide her with mizonos. Omar Le, Rabbi Yochanan says to Rav Shamon, Pasrisu ba kule hai. You explain all of so many sources with that same answer that they're all talking about a case where we heard he died. It's hard to believe that. That's the impression that Rabbi Yochanan gives, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan is feeling that answer is difficult. He's left with the wonderment concerning Shitas Rabbi Shmuel. Why not to provide her with mizonos when we see all the other Tanoim do provide her with mizonos by selling his property in absentia? He also Rovin Omar Maisa Balifnei Rebbe Bebe Shorim. Now here, take note of the names and the psak. Here you see Rebbe. Compare this with Rav Dimi's version of Rebbe. So Ravin tells us that a case came to Rebbe in Beis Shorim, the lo posak lo mizonos. Lifnei Rebbe Shmo b'tzipori u posak lo mizonos. You see that the two shitas that Ravin quotes are the same names as Rav Dimi quoted, but in an opposite psak, in opposite rulings. Om Rabbi Yochanan. Now Rabbi Yochanan, again, is in wonderment. Ma ro Rebbe shelo posak lo. Just like before in the Rav Dimi version, Rabbi Yochanan wondered about Rabbi Shmuel, who reputedly was lo posak law. In this Ravin version, Rabbi Yochanan is wondering about Rebbe. He's worrying about the shita that holds lo posak law. Why is that a source of question? The machlokas that we saw on Daf Kuf Dalet in the Mishnah was whether or not she has to take a shavua, whether she has to swear in order to collect mizonos. Abo mizonos yavino la. Omar le Rav Shamon bar Abba. Kvar tirgumo Shmuel bebovel kishishamu bo shemes. Just like we saw before, Rav Shamon intervenes on behalf of the shita that would say that when we did not hear of his dying, so we won't provide her with mizonos. That you're citing the Mishnah that says everyone agrees she gets mizonos, and there's just a machlokas concerning the shvua. That's because the Mishnah is talking about a case where we heard he died. Omar le pasrisu ba kule hai. And again, you see Rabbi Yochanan finds that hard to believe, that all the sources that we've asked on the shita that says lo poskim mizonos, all the shitas, all the sources that indicate we are poskim mizonos because we already heard it, that he died. The hilchasa, and here we have a triangle marking which highlights as the note on the side indicates, gimel piske halacha, three halachic rulings, shnayim hem kshurim l'sugya, saying that two of the three are related to our sugya. So the hilchasa kavase derav. The halacha follows Rav's opinion that where a married woman's husband went abroad, leaving her behind, after 3 months of his absence, Basin will go into his properties and sell them off to provide her with mizonos. This was an issue dealt with earlier in the Masechta as well, and here the Gemara's ruling, like Rav, that says a woman can call the shots regarding her income. She can tell her husband, you keep the mizonos, that you're obligated to feed me, and I will keep my income instead. V'hilchiso kavose derav zvid bekunya. As we're learning this right now, why this psak is over, what's the connection? Oftentimes you see a name connection or a topic connection here. It's not apparently clear to me as we're reading this Gemara, other than it's just the Gemara happens to reveal three final rulings, and this is seemingly not related. What does it deal with? So on the side, we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads as follows. Psak din, number 3, benosei klicheres, regarding clayware, hamechupin, that are coated. Ezet seva, bolea, ve'ezelo. They're different coatings. There are different types of coatings, glazes or coatings that are applied to clayware. Some are absorbent and some are not, and that has relevance regarding laws of kashrus. So the third ruling is we rule like Rav Zvid, but kunya. Kunya are the earthenware vessels that are coated. The Omer Rav Zvid, hani moni de kunya, these clay or pottery vessels that are covered, chivri v'uchmi sharu. If they're coated with a white or a black type of glaze, then they are mutter. What does that mean, that they are mutter? If they were used, let us say, during the year round, and now you want to use them on Pesach, so you could use them on Pesach, being that they haven't absorbed any chametz. Or as far as if you acquire a white or black glazed vessel from a non-Jew, you don't have to worry about it having absorbed forbidden food tastes. They don't absorb. So that's with regard to chivra v'uchmi, chivra white, uchmi black. Yeruki asiri, the yeruki color. This word yorok is a word that is it's a color that is not easily translated. There are quite a bit of discussion concerning the word yorok, but whatever it is, it's not white or black. This color will, if you have a clay vessel coated with that had been previously in use, and now you want to use it, whether it's from before Pesach to during Pesach, or was in the possession of an idol worshiper, of a goy, and now you want to use it as a Jew, that would be usur. V'lo amoron ela deles behu kartufni. Now that lo amoron is a reflection back to the chivri and the uchmi, the white and the black glazed vessels that we said are okay. That's only if there were no cracks in the glaze; it was totally smooth. Avul isbu kartufni asri. If there are cracks in the glaze, so they too are usur. The crack enables whatever forbidden substance to be absorbed into the vessel, and hence you can't use it later on. We're afraid that whatever was absorbed will come out, and that's a forbidden taste. The Mishnah. Before we read the Mishnah, we have a topic heading, the nosei, on the side, in machlokes im ha'oimed mefarnes eishes chavero shalch minis hayam b'li shebikshu mimenu farnesa. We'll see a machlokes concerning a man that supported his friend's wife, his friend having gone abroad, not explicitly asking this fellow to support the wife. Can the friend who on his own supported the man's wife, can he demand compensation for the monies that he laid out for his friend's wife? The Mishnah. Misholach minas hayam, someone who went abroad, a married man that went abroad, v'amar echad prunes es ishto, and someone arose and supported the wife that was left behind, Chonon Omer. And if you remember, we said that Chonon had mentioned two halachas, and here we have that second halacha. This being Ebed Es Ma'oisov, the neighbor is out of luck. He spent money on her, but he cannot be compensated for that. He cannot demand compensation for that. We look at Rashi on the Mishnah. Chonon Omer Ebed Es Ma'oisov Shelo Amarti Lucha Halveni Vefra. The friend, the husband, tells his friend, I didn't say loan me the money and I will pay you back. Avol im hilvo eso isha mois lemezosel almenas shetishalim lo. If this fellow loaned the woman money on condition that she will pay him, he tova, hu tova, so the this fellow can then tovea, can lay claim of demand compensation from the woman, and she can demand that payment from her husband, and he will pay. The reason she doesn't get compensation there is because she walked out of the marriage. However, had she not walked out of the marriage, that very girl, that minor that had borrowed in order to support herself, she is able to get compensation because she didn't walk out of the marriage. We continue in the Gemara. Chanan having said that since there was no specific request for a loan, all that happened is a man arose, and out of the goodness of his heart he supported the man's wife. That's right, goodness of the heart, but he doesn't have any claim on a refund or compensation. They argued on Chanan. The Omru, Yishava Kama Hoitzi Vitol, let this man swear how much he actually laid out, and he can get compensation. Omru Bidosman Hukunis Kedivrayim, Rabbi Dosa agrees with the B'nai Kedem Gdolim. Omru Biyochaman Zaka, Yofel Amar Chonan. Chonan is saying very well, Hiniach Mosav Al Keren Atzvi. This is an expression, it's even an expression in modern Hebrew, that when you want to describe money that was laid out and it's a total loss, use this expression, meaning he placed his money on the horns or the antlers of a deer. So you know that the deer run far and wide and are fast and hard to catch. You're not going to see your money again. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.